السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We continue now with the virtues of Sadaqah. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is famous in which he stated, save yourselves from Jahannam even though it be or it is by means of half a date. Half a khajur also if you can give in sadaqah, then give it so that we can save ourselves from the fires of Jahannam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that sadaqah extinguishes sins just as water extinguishes fire. And that every person will rise in the shade of his sadaqah on the day of Qiyamah. According to the amount of sadaqah that a person gives in this life, his shade on the day of Qiyamah will be correspondingly greater. That means the more sadaqah a person gave, the more shade a person will have. On the day of Qiyamah, every person will require shade because the heat will be so intense that many people will be drowning in their own perspiration. A hadith of Mishkat Sharif states, that sadaqah extinguishes Allah Ta'ala's anger and saves one from a sudden death. And that means a person won't get achanak maut. You know, death in itself is not something easy. Death in itself is not something easy, especially for a person's near ones, loved ones, even for the person himself. Right? If a person, you know, gets sick first, and the person feels his health deteriorating a little bit, person is in old age, now the person can prepare. Person says, hey, I'm getting old now. Now I need to get closer to Allah Pak, let me make tawbah, istighfar, give up my sins, etc. But now you get a person who's 30 years of age, in the prime of his health, right? Nobody is thinking that this person will pass away now. And then there is an accident or some sudden illness. Nowadays it becomes so common, all of a sudden it has picked up some tumor or some cancer and the person is gone, right? So these are deaths that happen all of a sudden, unexpected, achanak maut. Now this is something that is so much more difficult for the family to bear and for the person who has passed away also. It gives him no time to prepare. He doesn't see himself deteriorate or she doesn't see herself deteriorate. There's no time to prepare. So it is definitely better to reach an older age. Now the person reaches the age of 50, 60, 70. The person knows now, you know what, I'm just a mehman in this dunya now. I'm going to pass away. And the person starts preparing for that. So by giving sadaqah, one will be protected even from an achanak maut, a sudden death. A narration in Ihya mentions that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam advised his son to give sadaqah whenever he committed a sin. That when not now you must intentionally go and commit a sin and say, no, I'll give sadaqah to atone for it. No. By mistake, unintentionally, in a moment of weakness, we committed some guna. Now give some sadaqah to atone for that sin. And this is also the instruction given in the Quran Sharif also. The incident is famous about an immoral woman who was forgiven because she did the charitable act of giving water to a thirsty dog. She just gave a thirsty dog water and due to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her. Hazrat Abbad bin Umar rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that people will be extremely hungry, thirsty and naked on the day of Qiyamah. However, Allah Ta'ala will feed those who fed the hungry in this world. He will give a drink to those who gave a drink to the thirsty in this world. And He will clothe those who gave clothing to the poor in this world. According to another narration, the people destined for Jahannam will be standing in a row. When a pious Muslim destined for Jannah will pass by them. They will be all standing in a row now to go to Jahannam. And there will be a pious person who is now, you know, he lived a pious life and he is destined to go to Jannah. He will go pass. Seeing him pass, one of the people of Jahannam will ask him, that please intercede on my behalf. Intercede on my behalf. Turning to him, the pious Muslim will ask, who are you? Do you recognize me? Do you know who I am? Who are you? I don't recognize you. But do you recognize me? Who is asking now? The Jannati person is asking the Jahannami person. The person who is going to Jahannam is asking him. The Jannati person is asking him, that, do you recognize me? So the person heading for Jahannam will say that, I'm mixing it up. Let's just go back. This Jahannami person is standing in his line. The Jannati person is standing in his line. Now this Jannati person is observing this line of people that are going to Jahannam. So one of those Jahannami people will ask this Jannati person that, please intercede on my behalf. So the Jannati person will ask that person who is destined for Jahannam that, who are you, bhai? You're asking me to intercede on your behalf. Who are you? So this Jahannami person will ask him that, do you not recognize me? Do you not recognize me? And then he will say to him, I am the person who gave you water to drink on a certain day. Certain day you needed water, you were extremely thirsty. I gave you water to drink. Right? The pious person will then take this person who is now destined for Jahannam by his hand and plead to Allah Ta'ala saying, O Allah, I owe this person a favor. Allah Ta'ala will then forgive the person and enter him into Jannah as well. Now obviously this is a person who was a believer, he was a Muslim, but he led a sinful life, and due to that he is now going to Jahannam. Because if a person is a disbeliever, then there is no question of forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. According to another Hadith Sharif, the people destined for Jannah will form rows, and the people destined for Jahannam will also form rows on the plains of resurrection. A person from the row of people headed for Jahannam will recognize someone from the row of people headed for Jannah and will call to him, reminding him of a favor he did to him. As a result, the person headed for Jannah will take this person by his hand and secure forgiveness for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also mentioned that the following announcement will be made on the day of Qiyamah. Where are the poor people from among the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Let them rise and search the plains of resurrection for anyone who for my sake has given them a morsel of food to eat, a sip of water to drink, or a garment to wear. Let them take such people by the hand and lead them to Jannah. Consequently, the poor people will identify all such persons and take them along to Jannah. Now, what a great thing. We are still worried about our designer labels, doing up our kitchens. We don't even know if we're going to live for the next 2 months, 3 months. But we're keeping our money. No, I need to buy this designer shoes. The new pumps are coming out. The new this, I am going to Dubai. I need to buy some cloaks. But we don't even know if we're going to live for the next 2 months. We don't even know if we're going to live till that Dubai trip. Now imagine we go to Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif. There we just want to go cloak shopping. We want to go jewelry shopping. Imagine if we take all that money of ours. Take all that money of ours. And we say, right, every time I'm going to the haram, I'm going to give poor people. I'm going to give the people. Now you're giving this poor person, that poor person, that poor person. And in Madina Sharif, it's very cheap to buy a meal. Right? That one cloak you go and buy for 200-300 riyals, or 100 riyals if you're buying a cheaper one, you can give, you know, those certain little takeaways there, they make breakfast for the poor people. They charge 2 riyals or 3 riyals or something for the breakfast. Right?
Now with your 100 riyals, how many people you can give breakfast to? Right? Now you don't know which person from amongst all those people were making ibadat in the night. The person got no food. His stomach was crying. Right? And now you went and you bought breakfast for that person. That person ate that breakfast. Person is a poor man or a poor lady of Medina Sharif. Right? A refugee living in Medina Sharif. And now on the day of Qiyamah, this announcement is made. This announcement is made. That we are all the poor people of the Ummah. Stand up. Go to all those people who may have given you a morsel of food to eat. Go to those people who may have given you a sip of water to drink. Go to those people who may have clothed you and take them to Jannat. Now imagine, announcement is made, that poor person will come seeking you. Allah Pak will say, no, this banda of mine, she sacrificed buying those fashionable cloaks and jewelry and all that, but she was feeding the people of Medina Sharif. Alright, that's Medina Sharif. Even locally is the same thing. Beggar comes to the door, they ask for something. Whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim, if we can give somebody something to eat, you must actually, don't only wait for your father to give. You get married and you wait for your husband to give. You're only giving from the food in the house which your husband paid for. That's also sawab, as we learned a few days back. But imagine you take out from your own nafaka, your own money. And you say, no, I'm going to spend this in Allah's path. I'm going to assist this person. I'm going to assist that hungry person. This hungry person. What a great thing. Don't only worry about building our dunya. We only worried about building this world of ours. Don't worry about building this world. Worry about building our akhirat. This world is not worth it building it. Look there in Syria now. Tall, big, smart buildings. Couple of bombings, everything finished. Now all those buildings are destroyed. Now they're making containerized villages and tent villages and all this type. Allah Pak make it easy for them. But now if a person, his whole life, he was only worried about building up that building. And now the building got bombed down. What he got to show for it? But if a person was securing his akhirat, he too will be in a containerized village now. He too will be in a tent house and whatever. Allah Pak save us. Allah Pak make it easy for them. Right? But imagine if he used his money building his akhirat. Right? Now we don't know which bomb is going to come and he may pass away, he may lose his life. He's shaheed. But now when he goes in the akhirat, how much he'll have there in the akhirat? Because he wasn't worried about only building his dunya. We only worried about building our dunya. Yes, there are certain things that are needs and necessities. Right? We don't have to give so much of importance to building this world. Worry about securing our akhirat. Right? It is therefore necessary for Muslim women to open their hearts and to stop refilling their refrigerators all the time. All the time we only worried about filling our fridge, filling our cupboards, which new shoes we can buy, which new scarf pins we can buy. That's the only thing in our head. The least they should do is give away everything that they do not require. While the best will of course be to give to others what one needs for one's self. One should remember that although the food that one selfishly keeps away from the poor will not rot in the refrigerator, but it may rot in one's stomach and harm one's health. Now we come to the harms of hoarding. Because if we don't give sadaqah, what are we going to end up doing? We're going to start hoarding things. We don't want to give, we want to hoard. How much can a person eat? Now we don't want to give it away, we want to hoard it, we want to keep it. Right? Now what's the harms of hoarding? When someone sent a piece of cooked meat as a gift to Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she kept it aside on a niche in the wall because she knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked meat. A while later, a beggar came to her door saying, "Give me something for Allah's sake. May Allah bless you." The beggar received the reply, "May Allah Ta'ala bless you too," indicating that there was nothing to give him. When you don't want to give anything to a beggar, we give him dua, send him away with some dua. The beggar therefore left. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived and asked if there was something to eat, Hazrat Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala sent her servant to get the meat from the niche. However, instead of finding the meat, the servant found only a white stone. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this, he told them that Allah Ta'ala had transformed the meat into a stone because it was denied to the beggar. You didn't give it to the beggar, now Allah Pak turned it into stone. Commenting on this Hadith Sharif, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes, "This incident teaches us that the food which is not given to the needy and which one refuses to give to them is actually like a stone, because instead of giving one the benefit it should, it creates hard-heartedness." It makes the heart hard. Therefore, despite having the food, you see, in Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's case, Allah Pak turned it into a stone to save Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? But in our case, it won't turn into a stone. But the effects of it will be like as if to say we are eating stone. Right? Therefore, despite having the food, a person is deprived of its benefits and virtue. This is why we enjoy the many bounties of Allah Ta'ala without receiving their benefits. Today you find so many people. We have got so much of food in our home that the food is becoming a means of our sickness. Now we got cholesterol, we got sugar, we got diabetes, we got this, we got that. These things were unheard of in the times of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. People nowadays say that things no longer have the effect and benefits they used to have. This is not because of any fault in the things themselves, but because our intentions are no longer sincere. Every woman should therefore develop the habit of spending generously in charity. This should be done in a manner that the left hand does not know what the right hand gives. Instead of keeping leftover food in the refrigerator, they should give them to the poor. Similarly, it is fruitless to amass wealth in banks when it can benefit others much more. One should remember that anything given to others for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is regarded as sadaqah, irrespective of how little it is. Whatever one gives to relatives, friends and neighbors are regarded as gifts rather than sadaqah. Whenever Allah Ta'ala blesses someone with a bounty, the manner of expressing shukr is to give the old bounty away. Now we, instead of giving the old bounty away, we say, no, we need to call the carpenter and make an extra cupboard. Somebody gave us new Tupperware. Now instead of taking that old Tupperware away and giving it away, we say, no, man. You know, Tupperware is a very important thing. It comes in handy, man. Now, man, we'll keep this one also. Now we need a new cupboards, man, because we haven't got enough cupboards for our Tupperware. We've got no place to keep the things. We won't think that, you know what, I was living my life with that one. I was managing. Right, now another one came, let me give either the new one or the old one away. I don't need two. But what's our attitude? No, we need it. We need everything we need. Then we need cupboards and cupboards and cupboards. For example, when someone gets new clothing, he should give his old clothing away, either as a gift or as sadaqah, if he will not be needing them any longer. You got one jacket, now you bought another jacket. You were living your life with one jacket. You bought another jacket, give the old one away. Similarly, if Allah Ta'ala grants one a motorcycle when he has only a bicycle, he should give the bicycle away if he can afford to do so. Right? He had a bicycle, he was using the bicycle. Now Allah Pak blessed him with a motorbike. Right? Now, what's the use keeping the motorbike and the bicycle? Give the bicycle away. Use the motorbike. Let somebody else who's walking, somebody else who doesn't even own a bicycle, at least that person will have a bicycle now. The same applies if one has a motorcycle and Allah Ta'ala grants him a motor car. Now he doesn't need the motorcycle anymore. Give the motorcycle away to somebody else. It is sad that when a person buys a new refrigerator for a few thousands, he prefers selling the old one for a few hundreds or even less instead of giving it away to someone deserving. You bought a new house. That house came with a stove. Or you're doing the kitchen up. You're putting a new stove. The old stove now. You say, no, we must sell it. We must recover some money. Everything is about money. What are we going to do recovering money? What are we going to do recovering money? Rather take the old stove. Say, let's give it away to somebody. Some bichara people who don't have a stove. Give it to them. We're buying a new fridge. Some other people don't have a fridge. Give them our old fridge. Give the old things away. By giving it away, one will attain tremendous rewards each time someone uses it. One will also attain their invaluable dua, which could be a means of one's salvation in the hereafter. Even more distressing is the fact that many women sell their old clothing and old dishes when they receive something new. Alhamdulillah, I think our South African ladies, they give away their old clothes, right? But don't only give it away when it's torn and tattered and gone, finished, nobody can use it. That's no good. When you give something, you must give something that somebody can still take benefit from. Some even go to the extent of selling the empty paint tins they used when painting their homes. Now, this is a bit extreme. I don't think we got this in South Africa. But maybe there are some people like that also. Such behavior is not necessary when Allah Ta'ala has granted these people in abundance. They would earn much more by giving things away to others for Allah's pleasure. I'll give you an example, right? Say you got one Kenwood machine. You got one Kenwood machine, right? Now, somebody was very happy with you. They decided to buy you a gift. They don't know what to gift buy for you. So they went shopping. They say, there's a Kenwood machine on special. Let me buy her a Kenwood machine, man. Right? So your friend bought you one Kenwood machine. Now you got the new Kenwood. Now what you say? No. You know what now? This new one, now let me pack it away nicely. This new one only I'll use. The old one, I'll leave the old one on the unit. When I'm using, I'll take out the new one. Now, you were living your life with one Kenwood, right? Now it may be a valuable thing, it may be an expensive thing, right? But you were living your life with one Kenwood. Now it's an expensive thing, it's a valuable thing, but Allah Pak put it in somebody's heart to give you a brand new Kenwood. Can't we have it in our heart to give our old Kenwood away to somebody? No, it's a Kenwood. No, you must keep it. You know, if one breaks, you got the other one. Your daughters are growing up now. Let them learn on the old one. They'll break the new one. What is all of this? Miserliness. We got a new one. Use the new one. Allah Pak gave us the first one that we have. Allah Pak gave us the second one. If something happens to the second one, Allah Pak will give the third one. Where's the problem? Why hoard and make masala with the thing? Give it away to somebody. Let them use it. Right? The best way to spend in sadaqah is to clear out your cupboards every week or at least every month. You should then give away everything that you do not need so that whatever Allah Ta'ala has in store for you is not delayed in reaching you because you are retaining what you do not need. When you give something away for Allah's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala replaces it at least tenfold. Therefore, spending one coin for Allah's pleasure will earn you 10 coins. And if these 10 coins are spent for Allah's pleasure, you will earn a minimum of 100. In this manner, your wealth will continue increasing. Think of it like this. Allah Ta'ala has granted you what you have so that you may distribute it. You should keep what you need of it and give the rest to others. If you keep the extras without having any use for it, what reply will you give Allah when we pass away? What reply will we give to Allah? Another excellent manner of earning rewards is to send a bit of what you cook to your neighbors. Forget neighbors. Today we can't even send to our own parents. So we must at least send to some people. By doing this, mutual love will grow and you will be rewarded for practicing the advice of the ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a woman should throw extra water into her food so that the gravy is increased and some food can be sent to her neighbors. According to another hadith sharif, the benefit of this gesture is that love will grow between the neighbors and ill feelings and malice would be removed from their hearts. It is not necessary for you to cook a special dish to send to your neighbor. You should send whatever you are cooking for the day, even though it is not a rarity. This is another musibat, that we can only send when we made something very special, then we can send. Our daily food, what we are cooking, how can we send this? What they'll think of me? No, whatever we have made, we must share it with others. Of course, your intention should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to carry out the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make such a practice common among the ummah. A friend of mine, the author is saying that a friend of his living in Makkah Mukarramah told me that by Allah Ta'ala's grace, he eats meals from three countries every day because his one neighbor is a Syrian, the other is an Indian. He eats what they prepare together with what his wife prepares, who is an Egyptian. So Egyptian food he has, Syrian food he has, and Indian food also he has. Whatever he eats, he sends to his neighbors. And whatever they eat, they send to him. As a result, they all have at least three dishes every day. Islam desires that the Muslim society functions like a single family unit. When there is a strong sense of brotherhood among all Muslims in a society, and they all have sincere feelings for each other, they will enjoy peace, prosperity, safety, and justice. When non-Muslims see such an environment, they will naturally be captivated, and this will be a cause for them to accept Islam. Allah pagi was tawfiq. We'll continue with this tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.